Hello and welcome
to the Local Economic Development Podcast,
hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Joerg Meyer Stamer.
For other programs in this series,
please have a look at www.ledcast.net. In today's episode, we want to talk about the issue of process. We have mentioned this term quite a few times, but we haven't really explained it properly. So, Sean, do you want to have a first go at explaining why we find that process is such an important issue?
Jörg, I think what we often find is that current activities and current projects are often very much in the domain of, say, the public sector, with the private sector being very little involved or contributing to this, to these activities. So for me, the term process means taking these activities outside of the government into the local stakeholders and to actually have practical activities that's building on each other. Mm-hmm. So a process of activities,
okay,
that's building up in complexity and,
yeah,
and
yeah.
How do you see it?
Well, I'm just wondering, I mean, wouldn't many people say, or people who are defending other approaches than the one that we prefer, wouldn't they say, well, process is that's what you do first of all. So first of all, you have this interaction and you mobilize the various stakeholders and then you get them together and then you start with your proper LED.
Well, I think that let's first unpack the word process a little bit, how we see it, and then maybe at the end of the show we can come back and just wrap it up and see if we can get to any conclusions on this.
Okay. All right. Well, from my perspective, I think one of the challenges that we typically have at the very beginning is one of credibility and one of trust. When local government starts an LED process, it is not so rare to find that the credibility of local government is not all that good, that local government is not particularly credible with the private sector because the private sector feels that government is not particularly useful in any case and is mainly a source of trouble, a source of obstacles for the private sector. And related to that, there is an issue of trust, not only between public sector and private sector, but very often an issue of trust between pretty much everybody. Private business people don't trust each other. Different government departments, different government organizations don't trust each other. Non-governmental stakeholders don't trust either government nor the private sector. So we often have a very generalized pattern of distrust.
I think that what one should just also mention is that in many places this attitude of the public sector is not necessarily due to them being weak.
Yeah.
I've worked in areas where the credibility of the public sector was low also because the public sector in this specific case was quite strong and they thought that they could do things on their own.
Right. Yeah.
And this is not a great way to build a relationship with the private sector and with other partners.
Yeah.
So you know, people shouldn't think that we mean necessarily with low credibility that this is always because of low output or, you know, low competence. And this leads immediately to the issue, and we've touched on this before in an earlier show, about the confidence levels of local stakeholders to mm-hmm. actually take on activities and to actually work together in a sensible way, to go beyond talking about fluffy things, but actually managing to change their situations slightly,
yeah,
or to a large degree.
Right.
And then, you know, the confidence of the private sector, they often push back the problems to the public sector. I can remember in so many of our LED processes, you ask the private sector, why don't you do this? Why don't you sort out the signing? And then they say, no, government should do this. And then they all too happy to push it back.
Right, yeah. So that also means that when government is taking up many responsibilities and running things in a very unilateral way, the private sector then says, okay, all right, you fix everything.
Or we don't like the way you fix the things that you're trying to fix now, but can you also fix this?
Yeah, right, okay.
I think also that immediately then leads on to another aspect, and that is creativity.
Mm.
What we have certainly seen in South Africa, but I've also seen this in some other countries in Africa, is that there's a big lack of creativity
uh-huh.
in the very typical LED approaches.
Ah, okay.
You know, we've discussed it earlier about strategies. Everybody starts with a document that's got more or less the same headings
yeah.
that discuss more or less the same issues
yeah.
and sets activities into motion that all look more or less the same.
Right.
and that is really hampering creativity to really change some of the fundamentals.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen something similar in the place where I live in Germany, where in the course of some local or regional development initiatives, in the course of time, stakeholders moved from relatively straightforward and relatively obvious project ideas to absolutely outrageous and really, really innovative and very, very unusual project ideas. I mean, I think you've seen this kokiri plant once, where they converted this kokiri plant into a cultural site. I mean, that was one of those moments where basically nobody knew what to do with an 800-meter-long installation that you can't really demolish, and turning that into something that can be used for cultural purposes was a rather unique idea.
Which to me sounds like the outcome of a very interesting discussion and brainstorming and thinking out of the box thinking process.
Yeah, right. And it was part of a relatively long process. It was at that stage, that specific program had been going on for a couple of years, and they had moved from the very obvious things to increasingly unusual and increasingly innovative ideas. But it was quite obvious that they had to go through this learning process to get to these genuinely innovative ideas. And I think that kind of takes us back to my question at the very beginning in terms of, well, isn't this process something you do at the very beginning and then you do things in the proper way? And I think what we often find is that, well, building credibility, building trust, building confidence, stimulating creativity is something that is really ongoing and is ongoing over a long period of time and may actually take, or maybe getting better all the time in the course of a process of several years.
And I think what this means is that when we say process, we don't mean that there's no planning involved.
Of course not.
Because even elements of the process needs to be planned. You need to plan in creative spaces and you have to plan to create events and activities where multiple stakeholders can get to work together and work in a safe environment.
Yeah. I think what is also important is to note that within a process you're going to have so many distinct projects, and of course you're going to plan each of these projects in a proper way, while the process as such has a certain element of, well, unpredictability, and should have a certain element of surprise in it.
Yes, so when we mean LED process, we don't need something like Rambo running around just doing little things in a local economy.
Right.
Even the process needs to be carefully structured.
Yeah.
And you know, I've seen so often that there's a lot of thing that is forgotten.
Yes.
With LED processes.
Yeah. Which is why it is so important to understand this thing and to conceptualize an LED process also as a learning process, and as a learning process at very many different levels.
Yes, I think that what we've seen so often is that people take three or four events, and simply because they follow on each other, the one after the other, they refer to that as a process.
Yeah, right.
And I would refer to that as a sequence or a collection, but definitely not as a process, because with a process, there must be value add and there must be connections between these events.
Mm.
And what we so often do in local economies, at least when I get involved, is to try and connect some of these loose standing events and activities and try and connect them to each other. And the moment they start feeding into each other and complementing each other, then I think one can start referring to this as a slightly more sophisticated process.
Yeah. Would you say that you would try to connect things rather than having separate activities very early in a process, let's say within the first few months? Or would you be confident to let things run in parallel for quite some time and then say after a year or so you try to connect things and tie things together and look for synergies and all that?
Well, I think that the first thing that one should caution about is this idea of trying to coordinate everything that is happening in a local economy.
Right.
Very often, the very first natural step is to try and break up all the separate discussions and to organize everything into one LED discussion. Now, this is one great way to get people frustrated and to break down creativity. So, Jörg, I think to go back to your question, when I go into a local economy, I certainly try to connect some of the very obvious things that are not connected.
Right, of course.
But I don't try to coordinate or control this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, then, one start plugging some gaps. You know, what you often find in a local economy is that there's a business chamber meeting that is very general and where the usual business people talk about the usual subjects. And then you find that there's an LED forum and maybe there's a council meeting of local government.
Yes.
But you find that they are not sharing any information with each other.
Mm.
And sometimes they are all discussing the same topics from different angles, but they're not sharing any of their views with each other. And then you find that nobody's talking about a imminent plant closure or a new opportunity that's come up.
Right.
And then I would go and plan an event specifically to try and plug, you know, that gap.
And that event might be a formal workshop and might be an informal breakfast, I suppose.
Yes, yes. It could be anything. And what I specifically try to do is to try and be really creative.
Yeah.
You know, if all the meetings are taking place in very formal rooms at this stage around rectangular chairs with high backs, then organizing the event in a restaurant or in a different space certainly takes people to a different level of creativity.
Right. Yeah.
And it takes them to that surprise.
Yeah.
But again, I should just say, we've just mentioned one event now. You know, adding one event certainly still doesn't make a process.
Right.
That event will then be the start of a next process.
Right.
And I think at this point, one should say that one of our intentions with these processes is to get a learning process going.
Yeah. And I think it's important to notice that it's not only a learning process at how to do LED and how to manage LED. It's also a learning process on relationships between stakeholders, that stakeholders start to learn what the interests are, what the intentions are, what the agendas are of other stakeholders, where you often have at the beginning a disposition of distrust because they think that everybody else is just trying to pursue their own petty self-interest, and then they start to learn that actually other people also have a proper developmental agenda. And then I think it's also a learning process about, well, underlying concepts, and a learning process in terms of what you actually can achieve with local economic development, going from relatively small, relatively modest activities to much more ambitious and much more creative activities.
And you know, I think that the learning goes even further to a personal level. So often you find successful business people that are feeling quite empty about, you know, what they are doing, wanting to contribute to the society or to poverty or job creation or poor people in some way. And this is also a learning process for them to get to better understand the impact and the influence of their businesses or their organizations, you know, on the communities.
Yeah.
So often you find a influential business person or a church leader or somebody who's saying there must be a different way for us to get to better results.
Mm.
LED should provide these people a platform to learn about the influence of their organizations on society around them.
Yeah. And I think also one of the important learning processes often is that business people, business leaders start to understand that you cannot run a local economy in the way you can run your own small or medium-sized company.
I think that is probably one of the big surprises for many business people.
Yeah. Indeed.
You always make this interesting statement about trust.
Yeah.
You know, the one where that trust is where people have an opportunity to cheat or to break the rules, and then they don't, and then that builds trust.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is a statement that is meant to inform people about one of the fundamental issues involved in trust. You don't create trust by convening a group of stakeholders around a table and have them talk. That is not something that is generating trust. Trust evolves in a situation where people interact in a meaningful way and do something together. And then this thing really is important, that in some cases trust is generated because there is in principle an opportunity to defect or to cheat or to behave in an opportunistic way, but people don't. And the other people say, hey, hang on, that was interesting. Why? Well, he could have cheated there, but he didn't do that. Aha, so maybe he's not the bad person I always thought he was or she was. And that is the main point I try to make there. I think when you try to manage a process, when you are a facilitator who is tasked with setting up and managing an LED process, you want to have this issue of trust on the one hand and a possible tendency for opportunistic behavior or predatory behavior on the other hand in your mind, and try to steer people away from activities that have a very high risk of generating an opportunity for predatory behavior or opportunistic behavior. Because when that happens, your process is often dead in the water.
And it's important to remember that we're not referring now to trust just between the public and the private sector, but also within those groups.
And even more so, yeah, right. The other term that you just mentioned a few moments ago was control. Let's talk briefly about control. Why did you talk about control? What is your observation? Who tries to control whom and what?
Well, you know, in South Africa specifically, I've seen public sector officials wanting only one LED forum, and then they want to control what topics are discussed on that agenda. Mm. And at the same time, you have in the private sector one chamber of commerce trying to control or influence the other chambers of commerce.
Yeah.
But I know that in many other countries, there's government processes and policies around economic development.
Yeah.
And there's fights about mandates. Who's got the mandate for LED, and who's got the mandate for small enterprise development, and who's got the mandate for poverty alleviation?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of control going on.
Yes, right.
The challenge with control and with a lot of these topics that we've just discussed now is that learning, and there's a lot of good material available on how do adults learn, it requires a place where it's safe and secure and where there is trust. But it should also not be forgotten that you have to also build in elements of creativity into these processes. So
right.
I think there's more to this term learning than just learning how to work together. I think that there's a lot of messages or methods that's hidden from the eye in terms of getting a learning process going.
I think one of the important points is to try to manage a process in such a way that local stakeholders can really move from the obvious ideas and also the silly ideas. I mean, there's always these silly ideas that like, well, why don't we create a purchasing cooperative or something like that, which never works at the beginning. So you want to have a process that takes people from the obvious and from the silly ideas to the more creative ideas and the more unusual ideas, where then very innovative merging of resources takes place, where stakeholders get together which you wouldn't have connected necessarily at the very outset, and where people come up with genuinely innovative ideas in terms of how to address a specific issue.
And I think that when one designs these processes or when you start these processes, preaching to the locals about the virtues of trust and learning and all of these things, credibility, is sometimes a waste of breath.
Mm.
It's much easier to, after a couple of steps, say to the people, let's just look back at how far we've come.
Yeah.
Let's look at what we've discovered and what we've discussed and what we have decided. And that sometimes lays a very good foundation for people to say, wow, I participated in that.
Mm.
Well, I've contributed to that. And that in itself then creates a new platform for learning and creativity.
Yeah, right. Now, let us maybe look at this briefly from the angle of a development organization, which may be a domestic organization like a development bank or some other organization that is trying to stimulate, promote, and support local or regional economic development processes, or it might also be a foreign donor organization. I mean, for those guys, I reckon this idea of having a process which is evolutionary, which is to some extent unpredictable, must be kind of discomforting.
Yes, I think I've got personal experience in this. And one of the challenges with this is, how do you budget?
Yeah.
And how do you allocate resources? I can actually think of a process that we undertook in Hazyview in South Africa a few years ago, where for the first 6 months of the process, nothing really phenomenal came out. There was nothing that I could put my money behind. And it was only as we started withdrawing from this specific area and actually sometime after we left there, that some really big breakthroughs came through that were all set in motion with a very small little LED process.
Mm.
And this just shows how difficult it is for some of these international agencies to back these processes. So due to this 6 or 7 month period going by, we started reallocating our resources and our funding to some other exciting LED activities that were going on in the region. So it's very difficult, I think, for donors, especially when they have bigger budgets.
Mm.
I think this is another problem, you know, whether they put a couple of $100,000 or more than that behind an activity, it's the same amount of effort that is required to monitor and to evaluate and to manage these activities. We've seen that sometimes when you go to a development bank or an agency and say, well, we need $5,000 or $10,000, that is really difficult for them.
Mm, because it's too little.
Because it's too little. And because there's an element of uncertainty in this, in that you cannot always say, well, this process is definitely going to change this economy or upgrade the agricultural sector. You know, so they want very specific deliverables, and your process must evolve and must grow, and it cannot always guarantee these outcomes.
Yeah, right.
Maybe we should look at some of the activities that goes on in the background of processes, LED processes.
Such as?
Well, the one would be communication, I think. Communicating with different stakeholders directly involved in the process, and also communicating with the stakeholders that's not involved in the process.
Yeah. Right.
There's issues around knowledge management,
right.
Capturing some of the ideas and some of the discussions and some of the insights. And knowledge management in this sense also relates to sharing some of the fantastic information that is often captured in government reports and in glossy research reports that's hidden in somebody's shelf.
Right, yeah. Now, looking at communication, I seem to recall that in one of the processes that you supported in South Africa, you had a local stakeholder who was actually producing a weekly or a monthly column in a local newspaper to inform everybody about what was going on.
Yes, actually, it started off with with one of the facilitators of the LED process writing up a little piece for the local newspaper, and then the editor of the newspaper taking over and actually commenting on activities in the local economy that was supportive of the LED process.
Yeah, all right.
And this was a great process. It was a great activity, and it started off with a very famous little stone soup story. I mean, they published the stone soup story in the local municipality.
All right.
That was just an interesting stakeholder that then became involved in the LED process.
Right. So newspaper is definitely one option to keep everybody informed and also to raise the interest of people who are not yet involved in the process. How about other things? I mean, do you have any experience with like websites? Is that useful at this stage?
I have not personally been involved in an LED process in South Africa where everything was published via a website.
Mm.
There's actually just been a process on a strategy development process where the results of this process and the next activities will be published via a website, an interactive website.
Yeah.
But you know, some other things that we've used in LED processes to remind people of events and remind people to come to meetings and to make contributions is through SMSs.
Yeah, right.
Can you remember the Ilembe Paka process?
Yeah.
Where Duncan had to send out millions and millions of SMSs.
Yeah.
And how well this worked.
And because there are these web-based services now, you can do it like with this, like a snap. It's not like it's a lot of work to do that.
Yes, it's easy. It's getting easier. And that maybe also requires us to be creative in our communication, simply because I think that the number of messages and calls that we are all receiving has also gone up.
Mm. Yeah, right.
Incrementally.
Yes. So that is about communication. Is there any other channel that you would like to mention regarding communication among stakeholders in LED?
Well, I don't have any South African examples, except that I've discovered podcasts in the UK and in America,
mm-hmm.
where local communities have podcasts on their local economy, and that could actually be very interesting.
Yeah, true.
I will maybe just add the links to our webpage.
Yeah, okay, good.
But that would obviously require a far more IT literate and a yuppie-like local community than we often work in.
That's also true, yeah. All right. Then the other point we just mentioned was about, well, knowledge management, capturing the learning and all that. I was wondering, maybe we could have a separate show where we discuss that and also introduce the compass of local competitiveness, which is one of the tools that we use for that we have developed for that purpose.
Yes, and maybe we should also discuss in a separate show some of the issues around stakeholder mm-hmm. management.
Okay, yeah, good point.
But just to mention that in the context of this show, stakeholder management sometimes in LED activities gets a lot of attention at the in the mobilization phase and then is forgotten. Mm.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that what one should bear in mind with a LED process is that stakeholder management, keeping your core people involved and constantly getting more people involved, is an ongoing activity that is happening the whole time.
Yeah, it's probably the number one critical success factor.
Yes, and again, not just in the early phases. Mm. We've seen many LED processes where you start with a very small group and then it grows. But very often there's a tendency to try and get everybody involved in the beginning and then to allow them to wander off.
Yeah, right. I mean, maybe let's look at that when we now wrap up this episode. I think it's quite natural that people start in the process, get involved in the process, but also drop out of the process at some stage. So are you necessarily worried when you find that people drop out of the whole thing?
I'm worried when they drop out and they don't want anything to know of the process.
That's true, yeah.
But when they drop out because of work pressure or because their business has just entered a new European market or something like that,
yeah,
it is understandable. And then through our stakeholder and communication management, we should seek to keep those people informed because they should always feel welcome to come back into the process with new energy and new contributions.
Right,
but with the stakeholder management, we are always searching for more energy, more champions with new ideas and you know, you don't want to lose your core champions to a process.
Right.
Because that can very often render your process uncredit worthy.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And what you often can do is to use those people who were very actively involved at one stage, who then kind of pull out, but are still very, very friendly to the process. You can use them as ambassadors. You can use them to connect with other people that you try to pull in and all that.
Yes, because when they get busy or distracted, they don't withdraw completely from society.
Yeah, right.
Well, in most cases.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So, Jörg, now, one of the comments or the criticisms that people would make about our approach to LED, this process approach, is that I would say, but this is going to take forever.
Mm-hmm.
That this is going to take forever to get this economy turned around or getting it to a new level. How do you reply to that?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to understand that LED processes ideally take on forever. I mean, if they don't last forever, then they're going to be very discontinuous, and you certainly don't want that. The other point is that, as far as I'm concerned, I like to conceptualize this as something like, how do you call that? Is it an avalanche or something like that, where you build momentum and the momentum grows exponentially over time. So you may start with very modest, very small activities, but then over time you move to many more activities and to much more ambitious projects, which takes us back to these issues of trust and credibility and confidence and creativity.
And this also means that when you roll this little snowball off the mountain, I think that's the example that you were looking at,
right,
that this means that we certainly hope that this LED process will come up with increasingly sophisticated activities and projects and with activities that would require large amounts of funding. We certainly hope that this will get there.
No, we definitely try to steer it in that way.
But this will never make the smaller activities and the smaller creative platforms and learning and any of these other things less important.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Now, I think it's really important to acknowledge that we try to do both things. We try to initiate a process where people move to the really genuinely important, strategically relevant activities, while at the same time they keep doing the smaller things, the addressing the small problems and the smaller opportunities.
Yes, because we've seen so often that people go from a process where they identify a couple of really strategic projects. They pursue them with money that's typically managed through some other government program or agency. And then 3 years later, they achieve that goal, and then everybody must start all over again because in 3 years they've lost trust, and due to deadlines being missed and this and that, They've even lost trust in each other.
Yeah.
And so what we are basically saying is that this, there's certain process activities that must be ongoing in the background.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And that doesn't become less important when you identify something pretty spectacular to do.
Yeah. When you look at the books of Peter Senge, who is one of the change management gurus, he always likes to use analogies and metaphors from gardening. And I always find that that also applies very nicely to LED processes. I mean, one of the principles in LED is that a plant doesn't grow faster because you pull it. and also that more generally, when you try to launch an LED process, when you try to manage an LED process, it is very much like gardening. And except for those few cases where you have huge amounts of money and you can buy a grown-up tree and large plants already, you typically have to start very small and to nurture that and to fertilize it and to look after it all the time so that it grows over time.
Yes, and then these principles that we've discussed in this show about learning, creativity, trust, and credibility becomes very important tools in your hand to make this garden continue to grow.
Exactly.
From my own experience with my own garden, you never reach a point where you can stand back and say, it is done.
That's right, yeah. And very much the same applies to local economic development.
Yes, okay.
All right, let's leave it at that for today. We should refer everybody to the fact that there is the website, www.ledcast.net. And we also want to highlight the fact that we really appreciate comments.
Yes, and we want to urge all of you that phone us with your comments to please also copy them onto the website. We would like to see very shortly some discussion going on around some of the topics and the issues that we've discussed in the series this fall.
Great. Thanks for listening, and we'll have another show soon.
Goodbye.